Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins unto God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Judgment with your servant.
For no one living is righteous before you.
Lord, be pleased to love us and to us, as you love Holy Ghost, as you love Holy Ghost. pray.
O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, hear the devout prayers of your church, especially in times of persecution, and grant that what we ask in faith we may obtain through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday in Martyr's Tide is from the first book of Moses, called Genesis, the 50th chapter. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and all of their sins because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and for your little ones." And thus he comforted them, and he spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As a father shows compassion to his children,
so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And regret not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity,
who heals all your diseases,
who redeems your life from the pit,
who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy,
who satisfies you with good,
so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works righteousness
and justice for all who are oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses,
his acts to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious,
slow to anger and abounding.
He will not always chide,
nor will he keep his anger forever.
He does not deal with us according to our sins,
nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth,
so great is his steadfast love for those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west,
so far does he remove our transgressions.
Glory be to the
Father,
and
to
the
Son,
and
to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
As a father shows compassion to his children,
so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 14th chapter. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in the honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in the honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in the honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text from the Gospel reading. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I don't say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Forgive your brother from your heart." This is our text. You might remember from last Sunday what comes immediately before our reading today. Jesus had said, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother." That is, when your brother knows his fault and turns, you set him free. You release him from his sin against you. You also know how Jesus teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Forgiveness is the beating heart of the Christian faith. It is the center of what we confess and believe. But then there's a hand raised. Peter's got a question. He wants to go deeper. He wants to know how to apply this forgiveness business to his own life, how to live as one forgives his brother. So Peter's hand shoots up. "This forgiveness stuff is great, Jesus, but how many times will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" How much forgiveness? How far does forgiveness extend? What are its limits? Where does it stop? I wonder what his brother Andrew was thinking about that question. Or the other brothers in Christ, the other apostles, were they wondering, "Is he talking about me? What did I do this time? Why is he asking that?" I mean, what would you think if your brother said, "But really, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive him?" Or if your wife said it, or if your son or your daughter or your friend said with a sigh, "Do I have to forgive her again?" How much forgiveness? How much indeed? Not seven times, as generous as that may seem, but, and this is from the Lord, 70 times seven. Forgive your brother from your heart. And he means now. Yes, again, this time, and your sister too. From your heart. Those are the words that struck me this week. Not superficial forgiveness that's skin deep, but cardiac forgiveness. Forgiveness that flows from the very center of our being, from our innermost self, from the deepest part of us. And Peter thought seven was being generous. He wasn't even close to the heart of the matter. Speaking of the heart, that question, "How many times?" is the question of the old sinful heart. That's what the old heart asks. The kind of heart that knows it can't take another hit without seizing up. It only has so many beats. It only has so much forgiveness to extend before it breaks. So it would rather shrivel up and die. And I mean that. It would rather shrivel up and die than forgive again for the eighth time. Certainly not, Lord. And that's why it asks, how much? Because it knows it doesn't have that much. Because it knows its resources are limited. I suppose you can fault Peter for not wanting to be more forgiving, but I think he's just being honest. But Jesus, I don't have that much forgiveness in me. 70 times 7, I can't even count that high. You're pushing me to the limits, Lord. And he says, I know. I know your forgiveness is limited. I know your forgiveness is weak. That's why I'm here. Listen. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. You know how it went. I'm not going to read every line of it, but summarize it for you. There was the first servant who owed about as much as the national debt. And if you know what that is, you can tell me later. You don't even want to know how much, or why, or how, or when, or what. I bet you'd turn green and pass out if we went into all the details of that debt. And I don't mean our national debt, I mean this servant's debt toward his king. It wasn't pretty. You can't believe how he racked it up. And now he's going to lose everything, all of his possessions, and his family included. And so he falls down on his knees. He begs, he pleads, he whines, he promises, "Lord, I'll pay it all back." Sure you will. But you know, this king isn't heartless. This king has pity. This king knows what it's like to be needy. And so this king does the most unimaginable thing, the thing you can least imagine. He forgives the man's debt. All of it. He sets that man free. Free to do what? Well, I'll tell you what the man thought he was free to do. He thought he was free to turn around and start wringing his neighbor's neck over the $5 he's owed. Seriously? And not to let up, even when the guy begs and pleads and whines and promises to pay it all back. That first servant, it's like he totally forgot what just happened. It's like he'd looked forgiveness in the face. He'd seen its glowing eyes and beautiful heart. And then he turns around and walks off like he's never seen it at all. How much? That first servant is the living embodiment of not much. Not much at all. Forgiveness that's not full, that's not complete, that is... ending and partial and always counting and always holding on and always adding up so that the brother's sin is never really gone. I mean, that's the thing about counting your brother's sins. If you forgave his sin once, then why are you getting to the number 2 at all? You should never get there because it starts again every single time. But this first servant, his heart just isn't into forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't in his blood. It's like he's got an autoimmune reaction to forgiveness. And that's a problem. A really big problem. And don't act like it's not your problem too. I think you know what I'm talking about. The impatience. The anger. The resentment. The grudges. The counting, the demand for repayment, the way that you latch on to that speck in your brother's eye and won't give it up, and any attempt to point out the log in your own eye just makes you madder. You know, when you've been playing in the muck, the first thing you notice is how dirty the other person's face is. It's just the truth. But look in the mirror before you start pointing it out. When it comes to forgiveness, we really have to look at ourselves and say, am I any better than that wicked servant? I mean, whose neck would I wring for $5? Now, I know you may want to raise some objections at this point. You may want to say, but Pastor, you don't know what my brother did to me. And it's true, I don't. And you might want to say, but what if my brother isn't really repentant? Or what about the consequences of his sin? Well, what about it? The state of his heart is his business. That's between him and God. You've got enough on your own hands with your heart. And as for the consequences of sin, yes, sin has consequences. But Jesus isn't talking about that here. He's dealing with the consequences of not forgiving others from the heart. And those consequences are pretty serious too. And you can't get out of this conversation by trying to change the topic or put the weight back on your brother. The weight is on forgiveness. So here's where it stands. When I look at my heart, I find that my heart is about out of forgiveness. If it's not bone dry, it's close. Yours too? Clearly, when I look at my heart and think about forgiveness, it's obvious what has to happen. This old heart has got to go. I've got to be rid of it. I need a transplant heart. I need a clean heart. I need a new heart. So if it feels like Jesus is doing surgery on you today, great, because he is. If it feels like you've been dragged before the king and he's calling you to account, that's because he is. And what can we say to the charges against us? I mean, if the king really wanted to go over our rap sheet, what would it look like? Not just the lack of forgiveness, but all the rest of it too. Well, how much time do you have? How big is my debt? Is it enough to put you on your knees? Enough to make you beg and plead for mercy and promise never to do it again and that you'll pay it all back and out of pity, the master releases you. Out of pity, the master forgives your debt. All of it. Every single penny. But forget about pennies because he's not even counting anymore. Because this king does not have a heart like yours or mine. He does not have a heart that's limited in the forgiveness it gives. His forgiveness knows no limit. It is unending. It is a well that you can never reach the bottom of. And the only one who stands outside his forgiveness is the one who refuses it. The one who says, actually, no thanks. I'll pay my own debt and I'll make everyone else pay theirs too. And how absurd is that? I mean, every time I read this parable, my heart goes out to that second servant, that poor second servant who owes the $5. I don't want his neck to get wrung. I don't want him to be thrown into prison. Not again. Not this time. Not any time. I want him to be forgiven, just like the first guy. Just like me. Just like me. Yes. Your sins are great, and my sins are also great. But that's not the point. The point here isn't our sin. The point is his forgiveness. It's not the size of the debt. It's the size of the cancellation that matters here. It's his generosity that's in view. So you're telling me that he burned my sin mortgage, canceled my student sin debt, and wiped out all my sin credit? And the answer is yes. That's exactly what he did. But that's not easy. No, it's not. Forgiveness is never easy, and it's never cheap. It's not easy to forgive like that. When your God looked at your debt, when he considered us poor, pitiful servants, he knew what it would cost to forgive us. The son raised his hand. The son said, Father, count it as my debt, all of it. Put it on my bill, on my account. I will repay, and I'll put my heart into it. And then he did. He put his heart into paying our debt. He put his heart into forgiving our sins. You hear it from him on the cross. Father, forgive them, he cries. Words that still echo to us today. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he did forgive. He put his heart into forgiveness, pounding with forgiveness, throbbing with forgiveness, pumping with forgiveness. See his atoning sacrifice. See the forgiveness streaming from his head, from his hands, and from his feet. See the forgiveness coursing through him until his heart finally explodes with forgiveness for you and for the world. God is merciful, dear friends. He isn't holding your sin against you. It's been run through the cross. It's been pumped through the heart of Jesus. He's not counting. Would you? And as you think about it, you may realize that you forgive this, receive this forgiveness not only from your God, but you receive it from others as well. Because Jesus lives, and he lives so that repentance and forgiveness of sins might be proclaimed in his name. For not only have we sinned against our God, we have sinned against our brothers and sisters, and they have forgiven you. How many times? Seven? 70 times seven? So your Lord Jesus Christ sets you free today. You are free from counting your brother's sins. You are free from harboring grudges and resentment. You are free from being impatient and angry. You have permission, dear Christian, permission to forgive the sins of others in the name of Jesus and for his sake and on account of his blood and with his heart. So use the right that you have. Don't be stingy. And you can afford to forgive because you know that this source of forgiveness is not like your old heart, limited and bone dry. This source of forgiveness is the new heart, the very heart of Christ beating in you. And I want to be practical about this for just a minute here. I know that when we talk about forgiving our brother's sins against us, we often jump to the hardest cases. We often jump to the most terrible ways we've been sinned against, to the things that are hardest to forgive. I don't think that's the best place for us to go. That's not the place to start. Don't try starting with the big ones. Try starting with the small ones. You know, there was financial advice at one point about how to tackle debt, and it talked about the debt snowball. Get the ball rolling with the little ones and then roll it into the big ones. And that's the idea here. Start with the little sins. Start with the small ones against you. Start with the daily debts that others rack up at home and at church and at work. Try out your new heart with those things. Work that forgiveness muscle with the easy weights first. Don't start with 50 pounds. Start with 2 or 5. And as you do that, you'll find that you're able to begin lifting more and forgiving bigger things. How do we grow stronger in forgiveness? By receiving his forgiveness and then by doing it. So when your brother or sister or your father or your mother or your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife or your friend sins against you today, don't groan and say, "How many times do I have to forgive them?" Don't brush it off. Don't say that it's no big deal. And certainly don't add it to the list. Forgive it. Say this, these very words, in Jesus' name, I forgive you. I forgive you. In Jesus' name, from his heart, with his blood. It all depends on him. Jesus is not waiting for you to find your own source of forgiveness before he shares his. He's got more than enough for you and for your brother and for your sister. And he's already filled the font with this forgiveness. And he's already poured it into the chalice. And he's already spoken that absolution into your ears. He never, never, never tires of forgiving you. Why, even now, do you feel it? Just a little bit? Your heart restarting, refilling, the blood pumping, the forgiveness flowing. Yes, restarting your heart again. How many times, Lord, is that? With his forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
Lord, I pray, I love you.
As we pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, there was one additional prayer request from Marla Zaneski for her brother Rick Steino, who has a bodily infection that is causing great weakness. So we will pray for him as well. Almighty and eternal God, you deserve worship and praise from the entire human race. And we thank you from our hearts for the countless blessings you have given us, for the forgiveness you have poured out on us, though we have never deserved it. Above all, we praise you for keeping your saving word and sacraments pure among us, and we ask you to make your church grow. Give us, all over the world, pure doctrine and faithful pastors who will preach your word with power and help everyone who hears them to understand and believe. Send out workers into your harvest and open the door of salvation to all the pagans and to the children of Israel. Lord, in your mercy, have mercy on the enemies of your church, that they may repent and live. Protect and defend us in every trial and danger, and let us, with all our fellow Christians, fight the good fight of faith, and in the end receive the salvation of our souls. Lord, in your mercy, give your grace to all the nations on earth. We pray especially for this country and all its citizens and all who are in authority. Care for all the schools of our synod and make them gardens of wisdom and Christian virtues so that they grow wholesome fruit for heaven. And give truth to every school in our commonwealth. Lord, in your mercy. Defend our country from disasters by fire, floods, war, disease, drought, or famine. And look with mercy on all who have suffered loss and grief from floods and storms here in Massachusetts and abroad in Libya and throughout New England and the Maritime Coast. Protect and prosper all people in the callings you have chosen for them, and make all true and useful arts flourish among us. Bless all mothers with child and their little ones, especially Rachel and Ashley. Be the husband of widows and the father of orphans, the helper of the sick and the needy, and the comforter of the abandoned and the grieving. Especially grant your help and care to Anthony, Ellen, Rick, Anne, Annette, Connie, Jared, Dana, and Anne, Rick, Mary, Evelyn, Kay, Nancy, Rosemarie, Nancy, Dick, Eldon, Audrey, Joyce, Aaron, Kate, as well as Karen, Rick, Jeanette, and Andrea, who are homebound, and be with all who mourn the death of Keith. Lord, in your mercy.
Your prayer.
Accept our bodies, souls, hearts, minds, talents, and strength, together with these offerings, which is our spiritual worship, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Send your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that we might receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith, to the blessing of our bodies and souls, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And since we are foreigners and pilgrims on this earth, help us to prepare for the world to come with true faith and godly living, doing the work you have given us to do while it is daylight, before the night comes when no one can work. And when we die, support us by your power and take us into your everlasting kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
Our psalm today is Psalm 32, starting at the first verse. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I keep silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as the heat of the summer. I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at the time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of the great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me, to preserve me from trouble. You surround me with the shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like the horse or the mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O gracious, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Give thanks that you have refreshed us with the body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that this heavenly food which we have received will strengthen our faith, that we may bear all crosses, sickness, and trials with patience and trust until you grant us deliverance, peace, and health through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.